Welcome to Digital Momentum. I'm your host, Mike Ryan of Smarter E-Commerce. This show offers conversational interviews with leaders in digital marketing and e-commerce growth. Today, I'm joined by my colleague, Christopher Rogel. Christopher has been working in digital marketing for 8 years with a specialization in Google Shopping. He's one of my closest collaborators, and we've worked on tons of projects together over the years. Today, we caught up about Performance Max campaigns, what they are, and why they're so important to understand. Okay, let's get into it. So Christopher, thanks so much for joining us today. It's really good to have you on here. I mean, we're always kind of exchanging behind the scenes and stuff like that and sharing ideas. So it's really good to bring you onto the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Finally, it's my turn and looking forward to your questions, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome to the spotlight, or maybe the hot seat. Let's see. So let's get started. Let's talk about Performance Max in a bit of detail here today. What is a Performance Max campaign, and how does or PMAX, as we often call it, how does PMAX differ from other campaign types in Google Ads?
Yeah, very, very good start into this topic. Performance Max is a new goal-based campaign type added by Google to their ecosystem, which allow you as advertiser to access and advertise your offer across the entire Google Ads inventory. That means if you compare it with smart shopping campaigns, which kind of only targeted or showed ads in regards to shopping campaigns, in regards to shopping ads and dynamic remarketing display advertising, Performance Max is exceeding this by far, adding also local campaigns, broader range of display advertisements, such as video ads, and also search ads to its bucket. And everything is empowered and driven by Google's smart bidding approach, as we already know it from smart shopping campaigns. And it should help advertisers accessing the entire Google Ads inventory with the lowest barrier, which is possible. In terms of effort they need to put in and knowledge they should have in order to run and set up such campaigns. And at the other hand, it should increase the visibility you can gain for you as advertiser, but also should help people who are searching for goods or other kind of offerings to really be able to find them. Mm-hmm. As Google can steer the ads across the entire inventory and align bids based on, I would say, that the state the person who's searching for goods is in, whether they are in an awareness stage of a typical sales funnel or whether they are already in the lower end of a sales funnel when they actually want to buy something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great point about this this idea of full funnel coverage. And I mean, I think a couple of interesting things that you mentioned there, like it's so much broader than just smart shopping, because I think it's often described as like the next step in smart shopping or evolution of that. And to a certain extent, I agree, it's an extension of like the strategy from Google to remove these channels a little bit. But on the other hand, it's really kind of a different animal than smart shopping, which is still at the end of the day, a product advertising channel. And this is, you can buy all of Google's ad inventory. I think its best way to describe it is as a inventory buying service. And that includes brand and category. So you're not just sending traffic to product landing pages anymore. And how does that, what are some of the changes that we see in the way that these campaigns are composed or built?
Yeah, it's quite differently actually compared to shopping campaign types. And I'm explicitly mentioning this, as you already outlined. It has a very close connection. Performance Max has a very close connection to shopping campaigns, as it's right now positioned to replace smart shopping campaigns by mid this year, latest with September. All smart shopping campaigns are either automatically or manually replaced by Performance Max. Depends when you start changing your campaign setup. And it has quite a primer on product listings and product inventory, as you already outlined. But in its core, it's actually already quite different. So rather having this focus on products or on keywords, as you see it with search, the focus relies way more on assets and audiences. Mm-hmm. That means in order to run a performance max campaign, it is required not only to submit product-related data in form of a product feed, it is also required to provide audience information and assets which meet your audience needs in terms of images, a logo of your company, descriptive texts, and videos. So Google can use these different kind of assets, combine them in different kind of ways, and target these different audiences across Google's channels and networks.
Yeah, I mean, some very interesting remarks that you made there. And I want to like just sort of pause for a second and zoom back out. Like if we would Venn diagram this, you know, there are these shopping campaigns out there which have standard shopping campaigns as one campaign type and smart shopping as another campaign type. And then Performance Max is its own separate kind of bubble or chart. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Performance Max was actually rolled out first with a non-e-commerce use case for entirely other use cases, lead generation or however. And then later on, they added the ability to add a product feed or connect a product feed. And then it kind of unlocked these more product-based capabilities and so on. So, but we have to see that Performance Max for retail is just one part of this much bigger thing called Performance Max. And in fairness, we'll mostly be talking about Performance Max for retail today. But yeah, it's so interesting. And you know, these comments that you were just making about the audience and the asset focus, to me, that's really a big shift in the way that we have to think about these campaigns and the way that we can, yeah, use them and optimize them, the kind of the logic we need to bring toward them. I think it's also a big strategic move for Google too. I could save my thoughts on that if they're not covered, but first I want to hear what you think. How did we get here? How did we get from Google AdWords back in the days and these keyword campaigns and so on, classic search campaigns, how did we get to Performance Max? What do you think, why is Google building their product like this?
And there are many, many reasons and I guess also theories what Google's intention is hereby. Maybe before we answer this question, I quickly want to follow up on Performance Max for retail. On this quote of you, where you said that there's a big focus right now and also during our discussion on this part. I think Performance Max for retail is right now very prominent as it's replacing smart shopping campaigns in first place. And if you look through Google documents describing which campaign has an effect once you run Performance Max and you also run for the same inventory regular campaign types, you only see that in the case of shopping, Performance Max has higher priority out of the box. Mm. And for all other campaign types, so for example, you have a regular search campaign running next to your Performance Max campaign, mainly the ad rank or some other factors decide whether or not your ad will be delivered via search or via Performance Max. And I think this is why we see right now a very big focus on Performance Max for retail. But I could imagine that over time, once the campaign type becomes more mature, this will change. And if you outline correctly, and also following up on that, if you look into the goal setting, one can choose while setting up a Performance Max campaign, you already have everything in there to also go for lead generation, like signups on your webpage, phone calls, collecting contact addresses, or for offline sales, like store visits or store sales. So Google is already prepared for that step, I assume. And we will see a shift sooner or later there as well, putting also more pressure on regular search ads and also in this area. Mm. But coming to your other question, why or how did we get here? I think there are several things we should consider. The most prominent one, or one of the most prominent one, is Google is a shareholder-owned company. So they, of course, need to show growth year over year and please the shareholders. And having these not connected different campaign types means that they lose money on the way, because there's an algorithm optimizing search, there's an algorithm optimizing shopping, there's an algorithm optimizing display, but they do not really know from each other. and everyone is interacting independently. And by putting everything into one campaign type, they have total control over the ad ecosystem of a merchant, of an advertiser, which gives them a lot of possibilities to modify bids and potentially also increase costs and ad spend, which is in the end Google's revenue, by at the same time keeping the cost revenue ratio an advertiser strives for. So I think this is one of the reasons which I could imagine. Another one is connected to their corporate code of conduct, which they once had. Don't be evil. It got removed a while ago. And yeah, one thing is by providing such a campaign type like Performance Max, you can also follow up a path of disintermediation of third parties. Mm-hmm. So, for example, within the bidding landscape, a lot of bidding tools vanished from the surface over time, as Google does not allow third-party systems to cooperate in terms of bidding when it comes to these newer, smarter campaign types like smart shopping and Performance Max. So one reason why Performance Max also makes sense for them again is that advertisers then do not spend money on third-party tools. They adopt Google's solutions, and this gives them more budget, which they can put again into advertising their offer.
Maybe I'll jump in. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I think, like, for example, if we talk about them controlling the environment, all of the inventory and the bidding and stuff like that, I think there's a clear, let's say an opportunity for a system like that to be abused. It doesn't mean that it will be, but there's a clear opportunity. And when we look at headlines around what are some of these things called, like Jedi Blue and Project Bernanke and stuff like this, we've seen that they have manipulated these environments before. So there's a good reason for concern, but whether it will really, you know, drive up costs or things like this, I have to, you know, make opinions that are based on the evidence. And like, on the one hand, one complaint that I've seen about Performance Max so far is that people are struggling to make it spend as much as they would like, which I think is, you know, a kind of a counter narrative to that. But I hear you on disintermediation, and I would just extrapolate that beyond just tool providers. I don't know how much of the pie that tool providers were really taking from Google. I think it's pretty small compared to the in-house teams working on these campaigns and the agencies working on these campaigns. But I also, you know, there's still jobs to be done here, and there will still be in-house personnel working on these campaigns. There'll still be agency people working on these campaigns. What I think is almost most attractive to Google in making campaigns kind of dumber in a certain regard, or smarter, it depends how you look at it, but easier to use, is helping them just attack that small and medium business market, provided, again, there's a little catch 22 here, because will they have enough data volume? Will they have enough budget that a campaign type like Performance Max makes sense? So it's a little bit of it's a tricky situation, but I think in principle, making the platform as easy as possible to use and opting people into more inventory is a way for them to just gain market share.
Maybe to jump in here and now taking off my aluminum hat, to say so.
Your tinfoil hat, conspiracy theory stuff. But that's why I brought you on here. I want the good stuff. I want the conspiracy theories.
not that the audience gets it wrong. This is, of course, just some wild theories. There are also, as you already outlined, some closer theories and reason why, which is, on the one hand, making the platform easier to use. I mean, if you just look at Google Ads nowadays, it's so overloaded with different settings, with different ways how you can attribute data, how you can bring in different kind of data, which goals you can set, which budgets you want to use, the recommendations out there, and so on. So, of course, they want to declutter this and make this easier to use. But I also see another use case, which is connecting someone who is searching for something with actually finding it. And whilst applying smart bidding across all this, these campaign types within one campaign, this of course helps the machine learning model to be way better than if it would be isolated working within every single campaign type, which means it's more likely that in the end, the person who is searching for something is actually finding the thing they are looking for.
Yeah.
And I guess this is a greater ambition than pleasing shareholders or doing disintermediation.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think it's a great point. You know, in the end, Google is often pitted against Amazon. That's the way it is. And Amazon has this, you know, they've come from two different places. They've got different DNA. Google has this powerful core product of search that they built up, and then they've built they've acquired YouTube, which is its own search engine, and of course Media Network in its own right, and they've built up the paid media around these things. But of all the searches out there in Google Search, there's only a limited amount of those that have commercial intent behind them or could have commercial intent. And so it's very important that people bring those commercially intentful searches to Google, because then on the other hand, you've got Amazon, which doesn't come at it from that classic search approach, really. I mean, they're an e-commerce offering. Google has struggled with their e-commerce offering, with the shopping tab, with Buy on Google. They've gotten a lot of criticism here for not really, they've struggled to get it off the ground in the end. The shopping tab is just not a destination for people at large, whereas Amazon is the destination out there, and they're grabbing away that share of product search. So for Google, they need to look at the assets that they have. If they're not strong on the e-commerce side, they are strong on media. So they need to look at all of these different surfaces out there across their not just the SERP, but also YouTube, and then what they've built with their display network, and wherever they can get their hooks in and just activate as much of that as possible. And yeah, if they can try to harmonize this, you know, one thing you said earlier about audiences and assets, I think that Google really has I think it's something that they genuinely believe, because we talk about their shareholder interests and so on. That's fine. They're a business. Their job is to generate profit, same as the business that each of us works for, most of us. You know, I don't want to demonize that, but besides these corporate interests that they have, that they naturally have, I think there's also one thing that they believe on principle, is that we should not be worrying about channels. We should be worrying about audiences, and that this is the future. And that's why they want to de-channel the whole thing a little bit and simplify it. And instead, that's this focus with audiences and assets. This implies a focus on themes. And I think it's a valid strategy, but it's also super ambitious to string together all these different inventory types and all the things that you could do in something as big as Performance Max. There's Performance Max itself, then there's PMax for retail, a flavor, PMax for local, a flavor, rumors about PMax for hotel ads. Let's see what else could come up. And my feeling is like they're trying to rebuild the Google Ads platform from within itself. Like this thing that we call PMax is actually the new Google Ads incubating inside of the old Google Ads. And whether or not they can pull it off is a big question, but it's super ambitious, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a strong move from the other side. And as you outlined, moving from having this channel focus more in mind than the audience in the end is something which is very likely true. And from my point of view, also one of the biggest challenges moving from and also motivate advertisers moving from their current approach to PMax, as this strategy was implemented in their minds already years ago, and retailers have strived to make this as perfect as possible, having this kind of full funnel strategy where you have display advertising at the upper end of the funnel, of a typical sales funnel, and something like shopping at the lower end and search somewhere in between. all of these areas. And to change one's mindset and motivate them to move to performance max and giving up this general strategy, meaning you cannot set a ROAS goal for display advertising any longer. You cannot set a ROAS goal for shopping any longer. You set one ROAS goal and one budget for your performance max campaign, automatically deciding which share of costs is used in order to meet your one ROAS goal is something where I assume Google will have a hard time to get there, especially with bigger corporations, and definitely need some time that people adopt to this. Nevertheless, I also believe in technology, obviously. Otherwise, I would not work in a tech company as a product manager. And I think that it's for good making this move. It's definitely will free up resources. And we can also trust a machine learning algorithm in the end to make the right decisions, better decisions than a human being can ever make. But nevertheless, I also think we as humans strive for having transparency and at least some kind of control. So I guess Google needs to think about and work on resolving this conflict. They might see more in the future once performance max adoption is starting more widely.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I'm always, I don't want to get too off topic here, but it's so interesting what you were saying, like about machine learning making better decisions than the humans. To me, what it's all about, machines will often make different decisions than humans. Like if we look at, it's a totally different domain and everything, but I think it's so interesting. Google DeepMind, they created this AI that would be specially trained on board game Go and would be able to compete against like the best Go champions in the world. And Go is like so much more complicated than chess because although the rules are much simpler, it's less formulaic and it's more kind of intuitive the way that it's played. And, you know, the humans couldn't understand some of the decisions that this AlphaGo was making, but they were brilliant in their own way. Their decisions a human would never make, but they were just different. And, you know, on the other hand, I think what happens here is the scale at which machine learning can do these things. Google talks about all these audience signals they had. And if you would make all those data points available to a human, I don't know if the machine or the human would make a better decision. They would probably make different decisions. But the fact is that we can't process this volume of information at this scale and everything. And that's where the machine learning is so valuable.
Quickly jumping in here, I totally agree. And I think, and not making anyone anxious about losing their job and being replaced by a robot, there's definitely room for human interaction and human input. That means the machine is only as good as the data you put in and the information you provide and the framework you use it in. So if you do not provide an input, which audience is relevant to you or which if you do not take care of this, then it might fail and target a totally different audience. So there's definitely a stake in there. Humans should and need to interact, even if they use something like PMax, which is highly powered by a machine learning algorithm.
Yeah, I mean, that you're kind of predicting one of my questions that I want to ask you about here. Like Google talks about freeing up time for more strategic work, and that, you know, things that got automated are things that maybe we wouldn't have wanted to do anyway or weren't the most enjoyable parts of our job. So what do you think are the things that are left to be done in an environment like this? Where do you think we can add value? And I also would mention, I love the title of this book from Frederic Vallée's Unlevel the Playing Field. We've been concerned for a couple of years that with these more kind of plug and play campaign types where there's less things you can do, that it potentially gets more challenging to differentiate from the competitors. What if everyone else is using the same technology? Does it just become like the democratization of advertising? Because we're all, like we said earlier, each company out here, we're all trying to make a profit, and everybody's looking for market share, just like Google is in their own context. That's fair enough. So let me just wrap up that question. What are the things that we can do in this environment, and how can we differentiate?
Another very good question, something which I recently thought a lot about, and I also stumbled across some old data and visualizations we worked on when we were looking and talking about smart shopping campaigns, which already showed a trend where this is leading to.
Yeah.
And I often need to remember times when I started in the Google advertising field, which feels like now ages ago, and is ages ago, so kind of 8 years ago. And you had the possibility to do and perform a lot of manual tasks. So you could change different modifiers. Bidding was not resolved by any kind of tool, at least at that point in time, for shopping. And you also tried out a lot of things and learned by failing. And nowadays, you hand over a lot of these tasks which you previously performed manually, like setting device adjustment, adding negative keyword lists in your shopping campaigns. You are leaving this to the algorithm. And as you outlined, Google promotes then that you free up resources to focus on more strategic tasks and topics. And I wonder if retailers are that aware which tasks Google is talking hereby. But it wouldn't be Google if they wouldn't give you a hint. And by coincidence, they released next to Performance Max also their so-called Insights tab within Google Ads, which works independent of Performance Max, but was coincidentally released with the same announcement that Performance Max is replacing Smart Shopping. And they give you already a hint where they want to lead you to, which is that you should look into audiences, that you should look and think about what your conversion goal and action is. That means not only purely thinking about revenue, but also think about more superior metrics like a profit-based bidding approach. They also point you to look towards demand and demand forecasts to better understand how your inventory is moving and where you might maybe see out of stock arising in the future. They also point you towards pricing. So product pricing is a very relevant topic and is something where I think a lot of retailers still struggle with and didn't resolve this properly. And last but not least, you also have the possibility to modify campaign structures and bring in specific sets of data representing different kind of business goals or objectives whilst setting up more campaigns and being a little bit more granular whilst using Performance Max. And especially this last one is very interesting because it reminds me a lot on the very first days with regular shopping campaigns. When we started with Whoop and when I started in the field of Google shopping advertisement, we saw often advertisers just using one regular shopping campaign with one ROAS goal and one budget, which was quite funny because not every item has the same characteristics leading to the same ROAS you want to achieve. So it would immediately have an impact to split up your assortment and create several campaigns and apply several ROAS goals and budgets whilst using shopping ads. And I see a similar pattern unfolding when it comes to PMax. We often see advertisers using and running just one Performance Max campaign. Somehow, interestingly, also a recommendation to not create too many campaigns when it comes to PMax. Mm-hmm. But still, I highly favor and promote this idea that it makes sense to have at least a little bit more variety in the goal settings you put on your campaigns. Set up several campaigns segmenting your products based on different ROAS goals and budgets you want to apply to. Mm-hmm. And I promise this will immediately have an impact for the good.
Yeah, I think we're still in such early days when it comes to this campaign type. And there's still a lot of people who are just testing it out on a narrow group of products or just getting started, feeling what's happening here, what's going to happen with how do these new moving pieces interact with each other and so on. Definitely there will be some best practices emerging, I'm sure. I think it'll be hard to say to what extent everything will be generalizable, but yeah, this idea of how much segmentation is too much, how much segmentation is too little, definitely across the Google Ads environment, people are not segmenting by and large the way that they used to. Like single keyword ad groups have fallen a bit out of favor, and you'll see new strategies like single theme ad groups and these the Hagakure method and all kinds of different things where people are really reimagining how they can support the technology, which doesn't always favor segmentation because it can be splitting data up too much. It can be adding unnecessary constraints into the environment for the machine learning or for the technology. But I think it's a really interesting place to observe. Yeah, for me, I don't have a super clear take on the best practice yet. I think it's still. I definitely feel like I'm learning here, and I'm looking a lot to see what other people are doing too. What kind of interesting ideas are emerging out there? You know, maybe there'll be the next genius thing like Martin Rutgeding did back in the day, where he looked at the constraints around shopping and the complaint that there were no keywords in shopping, and then he, you know, built that marvelous thing of like matching campaign priorities and negative keywords to achieve a similar effect. And I think Google is working on making the system a little bit less hacky or hackable, but there'll definitely be ways to differentiate out there. And I agree, so important to feed the right data into the machine, measure on the right things. This is the number one most important thing that you can do. Google themselves, they're pretty open about it. They're hungry for your first party data that you bring these first party audiences into there so that they can learn from there. They're not using it in a targeting sense. They're using it as a starting point, and they want that help to learn. Even though they talk about all their audience signals and stuff like that, this data that you have is still so valuable, and it's uniquely yours. So that's something that's important too.
Sure, it's uniquely yours, but at some point you need to share it with someone. Otherwise, you will stuck behind. And it's all leading towards that direction that you need to unlock and provide this data in some kind of form to gain some kind of competitiveness within this playing field. Yeah, and I guess this is also...
Oh, sorry, I interrupted you. Yeah, you have to bring it in order to activate it.
Exactly. And hereby also is a big hurdle in it, thinking about how big corporations work and how slow they sometimes are when it comes to providing specific data. Just thinking about discussions I had with some retailers in the past, where, for example, cost of goods sold, which is becomes a more and more valuable metric within Google advertising, is buried within one department. Often it's the procurement department, and it might take ages to deliver it to another department. And this is something where we see quite a split and people which could gain a lot of momentum pretty fast. And organizations gaining a lot of momentum if they're able to unlock this data and bring it in. Mm. And with bringing in, I also mean that there are challenges within this task, as there are more lightweighted, faster methodologies to move forward. Mm-hmm. And there are some more heavy ways to move forward, which in the end are more stable, more robust, and more precise. So this is also something one should look out for and decide what is the best way to bring in margin data, to bring in stock, to bring in competition price data, just to name some which are in our minds.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just if we look at that topic of profitability alone, I mean, you can submit your cost of goods sold data, as you mentioned, if you're willing, where most people that I speak with are so far not willing to do that. And I totally understand that. Or you can, you know, bring in relative margin buckets via custom label, but this is not that precise. Or you can track profit instead of tracking revenue via pixel. And, you know, this is a really kind of a more advanced way. Or then you can use the offline conversion import to send even adjusted profit data in there, like accounting for returns that occurred or things like this. And so it's this whole spectrum of things that are possible. And for me, it's important that you're just taking steps in that direction, because I think every one of those things is good. And yeah, you just have to keep walking and you'll get there, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. What do you think about the market reaction toward Performance Max so far? Are there interesting reactions that you're seeing out there, from whether from clients or from people outspoken in the industry? And how do you think that compares to back when smart shopping was rolling out, or when Target ROAS was kind of rolling out?
Yeah, sure. So in general, what you can observe is that there's way more buzz since 1 month around this topic compared to beforehand, although PMax was already available. And we see mixed signals here. We see some early adopters which want to test it out, and especially within for merchants or advertisers with smaller budgets, it's a quite attractive format to move on to, as they might not be able so far to cover all this Google Ads inventory with the existing campaign setup, purely due to lack of resources and or know-how. So we see a trend definitely there. What we could not yet observe is a wide adoption throughout bigger retailers, bigger clients, meaning that they do not yet consider this as something they would like to move on. And here we hear different voices, as it's sometimes too black box-ish in terms of you need to hand over so much control and transparency to Google. You cannot follow up on this funnel strategy any longer. You lose your search term report and other valuable metrics. So this is quite a problem for them, as well as lacking best practices and experience. So it seems like they just do not want to adopt yet. And interestingly, we also hear some voices moving back to regular shopping campaigns, which beforehand already used smart shopping, because they feel similar and want to remain in some kind of control. Yeah, and as we got confirmed, regular campaign types will remain. You publicly asked this to Ginny Marvin, and she responded and confirmed that Google will not remove any kind of regular campaign types. So it seems like you always have the option whether to use Performance Max anytime or your regular campaign type or your regular set of campaign types. So you can anyway choose if you have the time and resources to implement and work with this highly manual campaign types, which in the end give you more control and transparency, or if you want to head on and try out Performance Max, where you of course need to sacrifice transparency and control for the sake of more automation and freeing up resources for other things. Compared to smart shopping back then, I think the trend is somehow similar. So Google struggles a bit to make this format attractive enough for bigger corporations, especially having this adoption within all their advertised target countries. Nevertheless, I also think that Google will invest in that and will try to make it more attractive over time, providing more best practices, giving maybe back some control in some extent. I have hard times to believe that it will be that much control that you feel really be involved, because this would be against the nature of an algorithm as well. Because if you again add too much manual interaction and interference, you risk to fail with the delivery in terms of the machine learning model and the algorithm. But nevertheless, they will work on resolving this and trying to establish trust in the approach of Performance Max.
Yeah, I agree with everything you've said there. I mean, I guess one take I would put on it, from what I'm seeing, I feel like the reaction is more positive, or definitely more open, I would say, than with smart shopping campaigns. There was a lot of antagonism there from me too. but I kind of have the feeling that, like, you know, when smart bidding was first coming on the scene, I think at first it was kind of a bit of a laughing stock, but also like the performance was not good at first. And there was definitely not a level of trust there. But people have over time that trust is kind of built up and the performance delivered a lot better. And that was something in smart shopping too. Like people got, okay, this is a serious campaign type. This thing is actually going to deliver. There have been challenges on that. How incremental is this really, et cetera. But if you look at it purely from the platform metrics look good. We can at least agree on that. And now I feel like people are seeing Performance Max and being a lot more open toward it.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to add here that I think that with smart shopping, they already cleared the path to have this transition. I remember in the early days of smart shopping, Google was also promoting, and I think it was called white label models or something like this.
The white data. White data.
Yeah, thank you. Where they promoted this idea of using not competition data, but industry data to ramp up your machine learning models and stuff like this. And I think this kind of technologies, which they started using with and implementing with smart shopping campaigns, led to better adoption and also out of the box, better performance with Performance Max compared to smart shopping, which, as you outlined, struggled a lot in the early days, delivering the performance someone expected.
Yeah, I think white data was like their euphemism for transfer learning. And I would be so bold as to say, yeah, you were getting kind of bootstrapped on your competitor data and vice versa. Yeah. I don't know how widely publicized it was, but definitely I think things are a little different now. And also about this topic of like that regular shopping is not going away. A couple things there. I saw some polls running on LinkedIn for what it's worth. You know, these are not scientific polls or anything like that, but it seems like there are people out there who are saying that they would switch back to standard shopping from smart shopping when that sunset date approach and smart shopping will turn into Performance Max. So this is interesting to see, but it doesn't have like the whole conversation doesn't have kind of the venom or the intensity that these conversations used to have in the past. It feels just more like preference and things like this. But I also feel like in retrospect, it seems in a way obvious that standard shopping campaigns will be kept. Although not that long in the past, I was definitely thinking, okay, they're gonna kill these things. But when you really think of Performance Max for retail as a subset of Performance Max and shopping campaigns as something else, I mean, I think it's obvious why smart shopping gets retired. There's too much similarity, or there's too much of a kind of redundancy with Performance Max. But if you would eliminate standard shopping campaigns, then your only way to serve shopping inventory would be through this new campaign type. And I think that's just too big of a bet. And I don't think that they're going to get rid of these standard campaigns anytime soon. I think rather, you know, my thesis statement here that this is like a new ad platform growing inside the old one. And to keep that kind of biological metaphor, like at a certain point, the standard campaigns might sort of wither away, like we have our tailbones or our appendix or something, and there are these leftover things. But in the midterm, I don't see that as happening. You know, I think that's realistically, there's still going to be needs and use cases for those campaign types. I think we'll see it valid to pursue different strategies via different campaign types. And I also think that there's too much budget tied up in those campaign types that Google is going to risk losing it. They don't want to jeopardize that wallet.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. And it brings me back to the discussion we had earlier during this session. What makes it so different to other campaign types? And we briefly mentioned that asset is one of the things in center when it comes to Performance Max campaigns. And imagine Google would just purely remove regular shopping campaigns. I guess a lot of advertisers would have a hard time to provide assets needed to run Performance Max campaigns. So I guess we will see more buzz around this topic and also further solutions on Google's end, helping especially retailers onboard and provide different kind of assets needed to run Performance Max campaigns sufficiently.
We're just about out of time here. So I want to wrap it up, and maybe we just ask a kind of a closing question. Where do you think that this is headed? Where do you see the kind of the trajectory or the direction of this?
Yeah, we briefly somehow covered this, I think, several times actually. So as I outlined earlier, it's only in the case of shopping campaigns where PMax out of the box has higher priority over existing campaign types. So I can imagine that there's a lot of work to be done at Google's end to change this and also let Performance Max take over priority over other campaign types. So this is definitely something which I see in the short and midterm happening, as well as Google supporting the creation and management of assets, as I think this is one of the biggest hurdles for especially retailers moving to Performance Max, beside of giving up such a funnel strategy. So I think we will see some buzz and deliveries there. I think they will also emphasize and put greater attention on their insights tab and helping advertisers to understand how they can leverage this information and make it actionable. So I could imagine that there's a trend towards profit-based optimization more in the future, as this is remains as a very valuable resource for advertisers to move and step into. Yeah, in the long run, it's a little bit tricky to predict. What often comes to my mind is this truthful auction theory. Google wants, or a part of Google teams of Google's team once published, which is a visionary auction system which grants every participant an equal share of output. I don't think that this is a realistic scenario they will lead to, but it's still very romantic to think about giving everyone an equal chance and share of revenue in the end.
Yeah, that's those are interesting points. We've talked about the truthful auctions in the past, and I think if they're automating enough levers, it could happen in some sense. You know, the idea that they're, rather than people really bidding for this inventory and so on, they would rather kind of, because it typically everyone says what they're willing to pay for a click or for a conversion and so on. And Google would rather at that point almost need to get on the other side and say, what is this conversion worth to you? Because you can game the system by saying how much you're willing to pay. And as bidding gets taken away, and you know, I saw that their dynamic repricing beta page is public now, so I don't have to whisper about it. I can mention it. You know, I think that repricing or automated discounting, as they call it, is a topic that they're very interested in. And that's kind of, some people describe pricing as the new bidding. As they just take over every little last part of it, I could kind of imagine that out of necessity, it needs to go in a direction like this. Also, another indicator there for me, there used to be bid modifiers. And again, that's modifying, like that's, you're talking about what is something worth to me. And now they have conversion value rules, which is coming out from the other side. Excuse me. So rather than how much am I willing to pay and modifying that, you're looking at how much is something worth for me and you're modifying on that end. And you're also at that point sharing signals with Google when you think about this occurring at a mass scale where they can start to learn how much are different kind of audiences worth to you in ways that we might not otherwise know from the system. Yeah, we're definitely out of time now. So I want to thank you again, Christopher, for sharing your thoughts and experience and all your ideas with us today. It's super valuable perspective. So thank you once again.
Thank you too. Thank you for having me. Thanks for taking the time. Very interesting questions.
Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with coworkers, friends, or within your professional network. We really appreciate it. This podcast is produced by Smarter Ecommerce. To learn more, visit smarter-ecommerce.com.